Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 25 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Walt Murray of The Wild Ride. Welcome back to the show, Walt.
Hey, thanks, Rob. It's been a great week. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I hope you didn't hang your head in shame too much since yesterday.
No, I know my limitations, and trivia is one of them. So that was par for the course for me.
All right. Well, okay. I'm glad you're a good sport about it.
Hey, a man has to know his limitations, right?
That is true. That is very true. Completely agree with you on that. So minute 25 begins with the top of the complex being overrun by American soldiers and ends with Miller taking in everything as shots ring out around him. So yesterday, you know, we continue to see the tide turning where the American soldiers are more or less, taking more control of what's going on. In this battle on D-Day, which I think it's great because, obviously it's based on truth, but the idea that the way that they frame this whole sequence, you know, we start off by they show that the Americans are basically just cannon fodder and, the death and destruction throughout the whole thing. And they reach the point where they're able to really turn the tide, and then they're able to, I guess, give back to the Germans that whole type of thing also. So I think it's a great way to show, a lot of times in action movies, the protagonists are always winning. There's no upside downside, all that type of stuff. Here they show that within battle, different things can just change, on a whim, and it just changes the tide of everything that's going on. I think they depict that really well here with the way that they do it.
Well, even in the 5 minutes of this that we've covered this week, it is such a significant change. You have the start of the week where everybody's pinned down right in front of, that cement wall, whether it be a bunker or whatever. And now we've progressed to where they really have captured the beach and the top of the hill here, and are now really handing it to the Germans.
Right. For sure. And it is great because they showed the progression of it all. There isn't one side that just dominates from the start. It's a back and forth.
Yeah, and they have really evenly traded blows. The Americans have, like we said, broken through, and we're now seeing them sort of on a mop up at this point at the top of the hill. But right. some tough scenes here too, though. Tough scenes to watch with just the mowing down of again, it's hard to be sympathetic to the Nazis, right? But
correct.
It is kind of tough just to see a shooting gallery like this.
Right. Completely. And in this minute, we're going to see how that also moves along and stuff like that, so you have all these guys on top of this hill, and you see that the bunkers of flame and stuff like that. I mean, these are humongous bunkers also.
Yeah.
You don't get that impression beforehand. Only now, when you're finally looking at it, you're like, wow, I didn't realize it was that big.
Can see the gigantic cannon there in the bunker in the background and part of the scene.
Mm-hmm. But people are still shooting. There's bullet fire going all around. They're coming from the various directions. You have American soldiers and German soldiers, and they're shooting at each other. And then you have soldiers inside the trenches trying to get to safety, and stuff like that. I mean, completely chaotic here with everything that's going on. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier in the week about the fact that even when shots are being fired, there's debris flying all over the place, just to add so much to the realism of everything that's going on around us here.
Oh, just total chaos. Yeah.
And then a whole group of soldiers run towards the trenches, and then we see from the other section, the other side also. And as you said, they just start a shooting gallery. You know, they're all just sitting there, you know, lined up, just shooting one by one, or shooting into I guess these dead bodies by now. You know, just the way that they're shooting and stuff like that. And finally, Mike has had enough, and he just screams, "Ceasefire! Ceasefire! Cut it out, ceasefire." And I love how he moves his hand back and forth as he's doing it. You know, like that's going to flag everyone off. Just, put that in front of your face, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and that he's obviously a sergeant, so he's been around, and he realizes that they're just going to keep on going. It's time to stop.
Yeah. Yep. And again, it's a great way to show it. And we see some of the characters that we're going to, learn a lot more about in the future. You know, we see that Jackson standing there. We see Caparza standing there. You know, we see that Mellish is standing there. You know, as Mike is trying to get people to stop. And then Caparza jumps into the trench, which will be very important on Monday. Yes. I think either Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember which day it will be, but it's interesting because when you're watching this movie normally, you just don't notice. I've never noticed that Caparza jumped into the trench at this point. You know, so it's cool to be able to look at it this way and say, "Wow, now I know what was going on there." You know,
Yep, setting the stage for what's coming next week.
Yeah. And then we have Miller on a radio, and he goes, "Sugarcane, Sugar Charlie 3, say again, Dog 1 is open. Send in the dozers." And he goes, "I'm waiting for you to tie in my flanks. Over." So, again, this is pretty effective. You know, we saw, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when he's trying to get some messages off and is unsuccessful because the radio man ends up having his face caved in, but here he's finally able to, he is the highest ranking officer on top of this hill right now, and so he's the one who's got to give him the report, and he's telling them, "Okay, bring in the bulldozers to get through this whole thing, but we've opened up the area, the landing area at Dog One." So I think that's great.
Yeah, great scene. And and to think of what they've just been through in the last 25 minutes of film time. This is a satisfying moment, but also just been a horrific, bloody mess of a battle.
Well, I guess it's sort of also somewhat relief for them at this point. You know,
definitely.
And the adrenaline's starting to wear off, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But again, I like the way that they tell us by not telling it, or they tell us by showing us that he is basically the guy giving the instructions and giving the AOK that we've now made it here and we've broken through.
Yes. Yeah. We've got the foothold.
Yeah. I like that. And, I also love how he's holding his hand over the speaker as he's over the microphone, I guess you can say, of the thing, as if he's sort of like telling it as a secret type of thing.
You see what I'm talking about? Probably also so much noise and so much chaos that he's gotta cover it just so that the folks on the other end can hear him.
Right. Okay. That is fair too. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then it is just a chaotic, crazy, crazy scene.
Yeah. And then the shot changes, and we see Mike looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. what scoping out the area basically, and then he sees in the distance two German soldiers that have their hands raised up, and they start speaking in German. One of them has a gun, and he throws down the gun. Then we see two GIs walking towards them, and they continue jabbering in German, which we don't really know what they said. And one of the American guy goes, "What?" And then he continues talking in German, and then he goes, "What? I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying." And as he says that, he just shoots these guys. They don't really take their time. It's to try and figure out what's going on. And again, this is another example of them showing the brutality of
Yeah.
even the American side with everything that's going on. These are guys, they one of them crouches down next to the German. These are guys that are looking for souvenirs. They're looking for something to take with them back home, and stuff like that, besides the fact they can say, "I made this kill," that type of thing.
Yeah. Yep. And I had read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, but I had read somewhere that the Nazi soldier was actually speaking in either Czechoslovakian or Poland
Right.
or
He was
Polish
talking
and
in Czech.
says
Yes.
Czech and says we're Czech, we're Czech, and then they shoot him. And the Nazis did, by force of the gun, recruit people from conquered territories to fight. And I'm sure that that's what these guys were.
Right. Oh, for sure. There's a doubt in my mind about that. That's possible.
Yeah.
But again, define force them to fight.
Yeah, right.
That's
Yeah.
some need to be coerced more than others, I guess you can say.
Right. Yeah.
That type of thing. But also the way that they're these GIs are standing there over these bodies, it really does look like they're looting them. They're trying to
Yeah.
find something to take back with them.
Oh, there was a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then one of them says to the other, he goes, "What did he say? What did he say?" And he starts waving his hands around and goes, "Look, I washed for supper."
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
That's kind of
again,
hard
it's
to digest,
yeah.
but again, it's the brutality of war. And, but I, again, Spielberg did a great job here of demonstrating the brutality and the inhumanity of war.
Correct. And I mean, it makes sense because, as we've said all week, the whole point here is to emphasize that war is hell and things like
Yeah.
this are going to happen here.
Yeah, they
Even
are.
if you don't want them to happen, it very possibly could happen. And,
Yeah.
because you can't rein in everybody as much as you'd
No.
like. That thing.
No. War is terrible, and
For sure.
it's brutal.
And then we get another shot of Miller, and we get a close-up on his face. And you can see that he is, I guess, starting to get a little bit of calm about now that it's all over. But on the other hand, I think he's still looking around and is appalled by everything that's going on around him, by the
Yeah,
way
and
that
I've never been
his
able to
men are characterized.
tell. Yeah, and has he just watched those guys shoot the two guys that were trying to surrender, and that's what his expression is kind of disgust with that, or is it disgust with the whole scene? Or, I don't know if disgust is
Could
the right
be
word.
any or all of the above.
Any or all, yeah.
I mean, the fact, let's put it this way, the fact that Spielberg placed it right here, it means that he just saw what happened.
Yeah, right. Very true. Very true. And we see a lot of Miller's humanity throughout this movie. Without giving too much away, we
No,
see Miller as very human.
you can give it away even if you want to.
Yeah.
He's a teacher.
So,
Yeah.
wow, now you just blew the whole plot.
Now that we'll talk about in a few weeks when they have the discussion,
Yeah.
as they're walking. And you know, it's very interesting that they linger so long on Miller's face here, and the you know, and the, I mean, there's it's they're trying to show us with Miller's body language, you know, that this was something that we had to do. We didn't have a choice but to do it in order to, you know, save the world from tyranny or whatever it is that they're, you know, trying to do here.
Yeah. And it's almost like he looks how we feel.
Yeah.
That just the, you know, exhaustion and the angst and the, his face is so expressive. And again, right. Just the great acting of Tom Hanks.
Right. And then in the distance, you hear a random scream of someone saying, "God damn it." Yeah.
Maybe and he says what we all feel.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
More or less. And then, you know, we see some soldiers still looking around trying to find targets. You know, even though the only people that are around are the ones that you're going to capture. You know, take his prisoners.
Yeah.
And that's actually all I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
No, I know we covered my notes very well.
Yeah. Again, the set design and everything, it's just, this is all just amazing because it really transports us onto D-Day, basically, with the way that everything going on around it. And that I love how the picture is saturated a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I would love another opportunity to see this in a theater.
Yeah, me too.
When I saw it originally, and I've, like I said, I've mostly seen it on TV or, but I have seen it once or twice in the theater. It is such a big movie. It just fills up the whole screen and. The sound is so profound. I really would love to see this again in the theater.
Yeah. I've actually told this story a few times already this season, but when it was out in the theater, I saw it within days after it came out, if not on opening day. And then I remember like maybe a month or two later, a really good friend of mine who I'm still friends with today said to me, I'm going to go see Saving Private Ryan again. Come with me. And I'm like, come on. I don't want to see it. You know, maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll see something else or whatever. He's like, you will never have the opportunity to watch this in the theater again if you don't go now. And I thought about it and I was like, okay, he's definitely got a point there. So I went and we saw it and I loved it. And I actually just spoke to him last week. And I said to him, I said, you know, I mention you on my podcast all the time. And he looked at me and he goes, I don't remember ever going to see that and Saving Private Ryan with you.
Oh.
Now, I know he did. He just said he doesn't remember.
Right. You know? Yep.
He says, well, if you say so, we did. But, you know, it's funny that for me, this was such a profound statement or whatever. And, you know, he has totally forgotten that after 26 years. So I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, this movie to me was just so impactful when I saw it.
Yeah.
That I remember where I was sitting in the theater. I remember the emotions that I felt when I saw it. I remember later on seeing on DVD the reaction of some of the actual veterans talking about, you know, the sounds of the tanks and things like that. And it is such a big, powerful movie in a theater. Seeing it, I mean, you can watch it on an iPad and it's powerful.
Yeah.
But seeing it in the theater was a rare experience. You don't have that emotion and reaction very often to a movie.
Right. 100%. So every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg directed films. So Walt, why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up? I know there aren't that many to choose from, so it shouldn't be that difficult.
No, it's a very short list. And I'm actually going to throw one in that probably is not on anybody else's list, but I've actually met the people involved in this one. And that is Catch Me If You Can. great kind of crime film that Spielberg was involved in. And I know the FBI agent who made the arrest on that real life criminal. So interesting story, and there's a great book associated with it, but very interesting one. It's so hard to put in any kind of order, but probably Saving Private Ryan would be there in the middle. Let's go with this.
Dude, Catch Me If You Can,
probably number
go.
Five.
Okay, yeah.
Jurassic Park, number four. Indiana Jones, the original Indiana Jones. Then Saving Private Ryan, and then Jaws.
Okay, that is a great list. All right, thank you very much for that.
And you could probably put 30 other movies on there, but I'll go with those.
Only 30? That's pretty good.
Okay, 40.
Exactly.
We could be here all day with him.
That we definitely could. All right. Well, thank you very much for that list, Walt. So would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find Walt Murray?
Yeah, you can find me on a podcast called The Wilder Ride, where Alan Sanders, who you've heard and will hear again, and I cover the movies of the great Gene Wilder 1 minute at a time. And then during COVID and all that mess, we spent some time interviewing friends and family members who have interesting things going on in their lives. We interviewed the commander of the International Space Station, who made two trips up with his teams. We've interviewed a guy who's climbed Everest 5 times. We interviewed retired police officers and military people and a couple of actors and actresses and just a wide variety of people who were willing to sit down with us for a while during COVID. So check us out again at The Wilder Ride. We also have a Facebook group called The Wilder Ride Listeners Group. And that is where you can find me.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. If you want, you can send me an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, Walt, thank you very much for joining me this week. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I did.
Rob, I had a great time. Thanks for being so persistent, and it was great to finally connect with you face-to-face.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Yes, so I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But everyone have a great weekend. But until then, earn this.
Earn this.